May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Again, it's a delight to welcome us again to this Sunday service. You'll recall that in the past few weeks, not months, we've been focusing on the we letter of Paul to the Philippians. And today we are focusing on the last part of the last chapter. 2 Sundays ago, when we preached from Philippians, we talked about the joy that defeats worry. And we talked about the prescription for a worry-free mind: right praying, right thinking, and right living. And you remember we talked about rejoice. And we also said that joy is a choice you have to make. You have to make that choice every morning that for the whole day, nothing is going to get you upset. In today's passage, we see Paul expressing his thanks to the Philippians for their generous gift. This indeed was actually the motivation for writing this epistle in the first place. And so in this last part, Paul concludes the letter by presenting an image of a loving God who constantly provides for his people, a loving God who is never absent in the life of his people, a loving God who is absolutely in control of his creation. In the first 3 verses, Paul is quick to let his friends know that he is not complaining. Like some of us, we say, I can't complain. You can't complain. So Paul is almost like saying, I can't complain. In writing this, he's saying, I can't complain. And he's saying, my happiness does not depend on circumstances or things. Paul's joy comes from something deeper. There was something deeper beyond his imprisonment. Through trial and testing, Paul has discovered the wonderful secret of contentment. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether it is abundance or need, plenty or hunger, Christ gives him a supernatural ability to be content in whatever situation he finds himself in. And the word content comes from a Greek word that means self-sufficient or independent. Now, Paul did not mean the word in the sense of self-sufficiency, since, again, he affirms that his sufficiency is in Christ. Contentment, again, does not mean complacency. For as God's people, we are called to work to better our circumstances as we have opportunity. The Bible extols hard work and the reward that comes from it, as long as we are free from greed. I think that's really something to hold in balance. Contentment, therefore, is an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being right with God and knowing that he is in control of all that happens to us. It is that peace. When peace like a river attends my soul, we sing it in the hymn. That peace, that calmness that comes from our right standing with God, that comes with that knowledge that God is absolutely in control. Joseph said to his brothers, you did this for evil, but God turned it around for good. God sent me ahead of you to prepare life. And Paul says that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to God's purpose. That peace and calmness. We know that even when we pass through the valleys of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil because God is holding us steadily and he's walking every step with us. In the Sermon on the Vine and Branches, as Graham read, Jesus teaches that he is the vine and we are the branches. The branch does not bear fruit through its own self-effort, but by drawing on the life of the vine. Apart from me, Christ says, you can do nothing. And so as we maintain our communion, our relationship with Christ, the power of God is there to see us through, no matter the circumstances we might find ourselves in. And perhaps the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, do we feel at peace with God in our current circumstances? Maybe even if we don't say anything again this morning, that is something to think about. And that's something I've been thinking about through the week and this morning and as I was coming up to the pulpit. Do I feel at peace with God in my current situation? Do I feel at rest with God in the current realities of life that I'm in? And perhaps that's something we need to ask ourselves. Again, in this letter, as we think about this, in this letter again, Paul raises something that is really important, something that we sometimes would not want to, we only mention in a passing, which has to do with the contribution of our time, our talents, and our treasure in God's work. And you see that in verses 14 to 18. Though Paul was deeply appreciative of the Philippians' gifts, what he's telling is that Paul is more excited about what their gift is providing them than how the gift helps he himself. Paul says that as the Philippians give of their finances, their time, and their talent, the fruit is being credited to their account. This fruit could be both the spiritual growth in giving and the work of the gospel that this enables Paul to do. I mean, we can stand here from now till evening and we may not end with counting the list of groups, institutions, countries that we support as a congregation. The ability to participate in the gospel financially is a gift from God. When we give, we become partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it means that our heart is connected to the things that really matters for God. But the question again I would like to ask us this morning, does the giving of your time, your talents, or treasure bring you joy? Are you really excited when you have to offer your time for the service of God in this place and in other places? Do you feel like you are constrained or you are stressed out? Do you feel like it's a very big border? Do you feel excited that you have the opportunity to offer your time? You know, the Bible says that if the people will keep silent, God will raise stones to do the work. And it is actually a privilege we have that we can be used of God to touch the lives of people, to give to the cause of God's gospel in different parts of the world. And giving to impact the lives of people we may never meet in life, people that may never meet us to say thank you, is amazing. So how do you feel when you are called to give of your time, your talent, or your treasure? Do you feel excited? Perhaps something to think about this morning. Again, Paul writes from jail, as we know, from prison. And the Philippian congregation at the time was facing persecution. But he says, while in prison, I am confident that God will provide you with all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Given the context of contentment that Paul spoke earlier, the primary focus is on God giving us the resources, spiritual and physical, necessary to be content and rejoice in Christ. So we rejoice in God because only he is able to overcome our circumstances with supernatural resources in accordance with his riches. Sometimes God's provision could be in a form that will alleviate our physical and emotional hardships and challenges. But other times, and perhaps most often, God will give us the strength and the peace. We need to be able to face and endure even the most dreadful of circumstances. And I'm sure that many of us here can relate with this, that God gives this inner strength, incredible strength, and you wonder where the energy is coming from, the comfort, the peace is coming from. It is a gift that God gives to his people. And often when we pray, prayer may not change things, prayer changes us. Prayer changes our perspective, it changes us. It enables us to know that even in our worst of situation, God still loves us. The psalmist, like I said earlier, believed that very strongly. Even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, my cup runs over. And he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. We can be assured that there is nothing that comes to us without the knowledge of our God. The peace that he gives is a gift. We rejoice not because God gives us everything we ever wanted, but because he gives us the greatest treasure in the universe, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who loves us with everlasting love. And Paul, writing to the Romans, says, what shall separate us from the love of God? And he says, is it famine? Is it hardship? Is it death? And he says, in all of this, we are more than conquerors through him that strengthens us. So we rejoice, not because we are trouble-free. We rejoice, not because we are sickness-free. But we rejoice because we are eternally held in the hand of our God, who loves us, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you until I have completed that which I have said concerning you. And that is where our joy comes from. That is where our strength comes from. It comes from the knowledge that we are never alone, we are never left alone, but that we are always held in the hands of our God. We may experience wintry period, but there's always summer. Amen.